Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, November the 28th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page XVII, forward to the second edition. First paragraph, hence the two men set to work, ending with, though no one realized it at the time. The comments will be on that one paragraph only, and it's the first paragraph on the page. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Alex K., the 12 Traditions, Anita L. Readers of the text are Dana P., Diane B., and Shelley E. A share ID for Monday, November 27th, the Eastern Time meeting is 20,880. That's 20880. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 20,882. That's 20882. Our newcomer greeter is Larry G., and our announcement person is Robin P., and I thank you all for your service this month. You've been a gem for me. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting private any public or private organization, political movement. Accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Morning, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, gratefully recovered just for today. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you very much, Alex K. And I will now ask Anita L. to read the 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Anita L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XVII, forward to the second edition, the first paragraph, top of the page. Hence the two men set to work, ending with, though no one realized it at the time. And we'll be just commenting on that one paragraph only, and I will now ask Dana P. to get us started. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, all my friends and fellows here. Wow, we have history in the making. I have a little story to share after the paragraph, and takes about 4 minutes, but I'm going to do a synopsis of that. But first, I'll go ahead and read the paragraph. Dana P. in California, thank you so much. Hence, the two men set to work almost frantically upon alcoholics arriving in the ward of the Akron City Hospital. Their very first case, a desperate man, recovered immediately and became AA number 3. He never had another drink. This work at Akron continued through the summer of 1935. There were many failures, but there was an occasional heartening success. When the broker returned to New York in the fall of 1935, the first AA group had actually been formed, though no one realized it at the time. So, like I said, history in the making. So Bill Dotson, that's who they're talking about. This is AA number 3, the man on the bed, well-known oil painting by Robert M. Of this man on the bed. And, you know, you look at the picture and he's cachectic, malnourished, anorexic dude. You know, alcohol just beat him down. so his last drink was June the 26th of 1935 when he entered that hospital, and he lived for 19 years after that. So essentially, what happened was that Henrietta, Bill's wife, had been looking around for some help, and she was concerned about this. And interestingly enough, we had Bob and Bill number one, who were having a conversation. They said Bob had said to Bill, if you and I are going to stay sober, we'd better get busy. So they called this hospital and they talked to this nurse, and she told them of a man that she'd just come across who was in the DTs that blackened the eyes of two nurses and was now strapped down. This guy had multiple hospitalizations, at least 8 times in the last 6 months, and he was a well-known attorney there in Akron. So funny thing is, you know, they went in there to talk to this guy, and they actually put him in a special room, and I think at that time he thought he was, you know, going on the deathbed. but it's interesting because down below Bill says, as he was reflecting, he said, all the other people that talked to me wanted to help me, and my pride prevented me from listening to them and caused only resentment on my part. But I felt as if I would be a real stinker if I did not listen to them fellas a couple of times, if that would cure them. So, you know, he was thinking he was doing a good deed, and that's what Bill and Bob approached it, and how we must approach potential sponsees, you know, and we must understand that this is for us to continue our own recovery. And then Bill goes on to say here that when we're talking about the successes and the failures, he told them go away, but they kept coming back. And it said, like so many of us, on first coming to AA, Bill Dodson thought he was different. They had shared the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, but he did agree to see Bob and Bill again. So they came the next day and for several days thereafter. When they arrived on July 4th, they found Bill's wife, Henrietta, with him. Eagerly pointing at them, he said to his wife, these are the fellows I told you about. They are the ones who understand. And he walked out of the hospital on July 4th, 1935, a free man, never to drink again. And that was, they say, when the first day started. So that actually turned out great. And essentially, thank you so much, Mo. What it says to me is don't give up and keep on going. Step 12 is the jewel. So if I don't do it, then I'm going to die. Thanks a lot, and I'll pass. I'm waiting to hear what everyone else has to say.
Thank you very much, Dana P., for getting us started and sharing that history with us. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared in the last 3 days, actually, please let others go first. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Luann C.
Wendy M. Anyone else? Somebody's unmuted.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Good morning, Deborah.
Janice K.
Janice O.
That was who again? I didn't get that last name. Was that a gentleman or a deep voice with a lady's deep voice?
Diane B. But that's not, this is the first time I put my name in.
I know. It was okay. It's somebody else. I missed it. All right, well, I have this lineup: Luann C., Wendy M., Deborah G., Janice K., and Diane B. I'll get you guys, whoever wants to share, on the next round. So everyone else mute your phone except Luann C. Good morning, Luann.
Good morning, Mo. Hey, I'm Luann C. in Boise, Idaho, recovered. I'm really grateful, and I'm just thank everybody for their service and for being here today. And I just actually, the two things that are standing out to me in today's is he never had another drink, as well as yesterday where it said he sobered, never to drink again. And that is just filling me with so much hope. this week I'll be at 9 months of entire abstinence, and I'm so grateful to, you know, God and you people and my great sponsor. And, you know, I'm transitioning from that initial breathless, you know, oh my God, it's going to work this time, to being really grounded in the work. And what I'm experiencing is what it's like to be functional, to have a functional, manageable, useful life. And I'm sane, and the effect it's having on my family. And, you know, that constant feeling of being overwhelmed is dissipating because, you know, I'm letting God discipline my life. And I'm seeing hope that my life can be different for the rest of my life. And I'm so, just so filled with gratitude and for the people, these people in this reading who just had this intercession into this misery of human life. And that I get to be a part of it, and that I'm seeing my life being useful. So I'm just so grateful, and everybody here, and thank you. And with that, I pass.
And thank you very much, Luann C. Up next is Wendy M., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you so much, moderator, for your service, and everyone on the line. I couldn't help but not talk or something like that. The word desperate, I love that word. And my story is 23 years in the program, 4 months ago, looked at myself in the mirror and said, this isn't going to work. And then I reflected that my life was completely unmanageable. And for whatever reason, I picked up the phone, I got a sponsor, and I said, yes, ma'am. And that was the most freeing experience of my life, to say, fire Wendy, hire God. Tell my sponsor, whatever you want me to do, it's happening, right? Because strategies and what I was doing was leaving me with me. And I was at the end of myself. So it was time for me. Thank you, God. And that was God's grace. But here's what I want to say. I'm you know, looking for sponsees, right? I'm calling and whatnot, putting my name out there. And I'm waiting for them to say, yes, ma'am, on the other line. And I'll be talking to one, and they'll be really, really, really interested, right? And then I get to, like, this is what's required. This is what I do to get what I have, and this is what my sponsor does to get what she has. And there's always a, you know, yeah, you know what, though? I don't know about that little teeny part. And, you know, I'm not in the convincing game. I'm not in the chasing game. You know, even yesterday somebody said something and I was like, huh, wonder how I can negotiate that, you know. And then I call my sponsor and she's like, if they're not going to do what you do, then they're not going to get what you – and you cannot give away something you don't have. You can't – I can't pretend to sponsor. I can't negotiate to sponsor. And more importantly, the codependent in me, it's not my business. Like, God's like, you're about to talk to someone. I need you to just sit back and receive all the information that I'm giving you, because God's in charge of sponsoring that person, not me. And I just, I love that I don't have to negotiate, chase, or convince, right? Like, well, they're pretty much doing what I would do, but they're kind of not. And it's not my business, and it's not their time, or I'm not their sponsor, and I'm not the one to carry the message to them. But I love that, like, it's so clear, you know, it's like entirely up to God. That's the great news. And I get to get out of myself, right? And self, like everybody on this line, you know, self-centered, self-seeking is the root of my troubles. So what a relief. I get to work with other people, and it's not even my, quote, decision whether or not they're supposed to be, you know, sponsored by me. It's not even my business. I leave that up to God, and I go to God if I'm not clear. But I love that, like, originally it's like, I could convince them. I could chase them. I could negotiate. Right. And I don't have to do that today. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. Up next is Deborah G., followed by Janice K. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service this morning and hearing your voice and everyone that has made this meeting possible, 12-step in making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. Oh, lovely. You know, and I'm Deborah, compulsive spender debtor from Arizona. And, you know, I am so grateful to all the people in OA, all the different OAs I've been in and all the steps I've gone through, workshops, everything that I've done, that they had the time and they had the compassion and the love and the kindness to try and help me. I am always grateful to them because I had to do all that to get where I'm at today. And that's the beautiful part. I love that reading. I love going through all this and being reminded of how it all happened and what can happen and the hope and the, oh, just the beauty of it all is just wonderful. And I like to be open to whatever. Like I like to sponsor and take people through the steps. And I also love visions because they have newcomers that give their names and numbers. So I can call a newcomer. I love it. It's so easy here anytime to help. You know, help is right there. Help for them, help for me, getting out of myself. It's just all so beautifully laid out. That's what I'm talking about, the beauty of this program. And all I have to do is take the action. And all I have to be is a lantern guiding people's ways, just like others guided me on their way. You know, how beautiful. And to watch how things evolve, however it happens, because it's not about me or what happens, what I do. It's about what happens with their experience. You know, I'm just that guide to take them through and let them have their experience and watch that happen. Oh, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for this, especially the visions, how they make it so easy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Up next is Janice K., followed by Diane B. Good morning, Janice.
Thank you, Mo. Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. The words that strike me here are, there were many failures, but there was an occasional heartening success. And my local groups are working to build membership at this point. And we too, Visions is not the only line that sees people come in their hundreds, and then leave by their 99s. But I'll tell you, I am so grateful for that 100th one that comes back and is willing and wants what we have to offer. And it's heartening to know that there were many failures, but there will be the occasional success. And it is the success and I want to say it's the success and the struggle to succeed that is so remarkable in these rooms. Reaching the point that we are willing to do whatever it takes, I don't know how many of our notable members, we might call them, well, what the heck, we're all notable members, but many of our noteworthy members, all of us, are people who came back. We heard the message, we weren't willing, and when the time came, we came back. And we kept trying. So there are many failures, but there is the occasional heartening success. And I am deeply, deeply grateful that I count myself as one of the successes on a daily basis. None of us have promise of infinite abstinence, but on a daily basis, we get there. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. And before I take Diane B., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XVII, the forward to the second edition, the first paragraph, the top of the page. Hence the two men set to work, ending with, though no one realized it at the time. And after Diane, I will take another lineup of people. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, and thank you everyone else who is on the line today, especially newcomers, because we need you. So what stuck out to me today was the word frantically, because, you know, there are other places in the big book where it says that we immediately commenced, we did this, you know, we have to do it immediately, we have to do it quickly. Frantically, when I looked it up in the dictionary, it said, in a desperate, wild, or frenzied way, out of extreme excitement, pain, fear, etc. So I'm not desperate at this point because I've done all my work in step 12, but I'm desperate to stay in recovery. And this is out of extreme excitement and fear. The excitement being that I had a spiritual awakening and I want to share that with everybody I know. But also fear that knowing that this disease keeps growing and getting stronger and stronger. So, you know, I was told that I have to start sponsoring immediately, that I can't wait. Just like when we were told we had to do the fourth step immediately, can't wait. And this for me is like really, really important. And it's also really important for me to let other people know that we have to do this and we have to do it. We have to start doing it quickly. I also, the previous speaker was talking about there were many failures, but there was an occasional heartening success. And I think about in all my years of OA, and I think about how many people have I sponsored, but how many people are recovered, or how many people have stayed recovered, including myself. I was in and out of relapse for many, many years. You know, but the point is that I have to do this work. And I believe that we all have to do this work because that's what keeps us sober. And Dr. Bob puts it really well that, you know, we have to do that because out of not only because it keeps us sober, but also out of a duty to the person who gave it to us. He says, a sense of duty, it is a pleasure because in so doing, I am paying my debt to the man who took time to pass it on to me. And because every time I do it, I take out a little more insurance for myself against a possible slip. And I don't think that it could have been said any more succinctly or better. And I do believe that we all have to start sponsoring once we become recovered. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you very much, Diane B. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Chanel W. from New Jersey.
All right, so I got Chanel, and was that Laura?
Yes.
Okay. Now T, Laura W.
Maria C. in California.
Maria P. in California. Anyone else? We'll have time for more. Got Chanel. Laura W. and Maria P. If no one else in the don't want to take time here, so we'll go with those three. Good morning, Chanel. You get
hi,
get
Mo.
Started.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Hi, this is Chanel T., grateful compulsive eater living in recovery by the grace of God today. And as we're hearing in and reading in these paragraphs, there's a beautiful mystery to why this program works. To the why, it never ceases to amaze me. Why, I won't know, right? I don't know why. I just know it does. So examples. Bill, why couldn't he get someone through the steps, quote unquote, holding that flashlight for them before he got to Akron? Why did he have to go Akron to start this program, essentially, with Dr. Bob and Bill Dodson? And why did it have to go that way? I don't know. I just know it did, and it still works. Why do I have to, in my case, weigh and measure my food every day. And instead of being in bondage and obsessed over doing that, it gives me freedom in my abstinence, mm-hmm. in my entire abstinence, so I can continue to be working in recovery. Why do we need to give it away to keep it? Why do we need to sponsor in order to continue to be in recovery? Why does it help me as a sponsor more than I think it probably ever helps my sponsees? I think we know why so many people leave. I think that's one that might be kind of obvious to us as compulsive eaters. But there's so many mysteries in this program. Why does a phone meeting work? Why does a phone meeting with hundreds of people on the line help people get something that we've never been able to get? It's understandable in ways it's never been understandable for so many of us. And you hear people say that again and again. And I think part of the beauty is that in my finite mind, I can't understand the infinite. There's things going on here bigger than you or me, so much bigger. And for that, I'm extremely and eternally grateful. For anyone who's new, if you're struggling, and, you know, holiday season, it's rough for so many compulsive eaters. Rough time. Please just stay in the room. Stay on this phone line with us. It's a beautiful thing. We don't have to know why it works. We just know it does. Thank you. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Chanel T. Up next is Laura W., followed by Maria P. Good morning, Laura.
Thanks, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic from South Jersey. I love the shares today, and I love, I'm not going to say anything that's unique or new or hasn't already been shared, but, you know, in the previous paragraph, it uses the word permanent, and that gives me a lot of hope, you know, that relapse is not a requirement in this program. We can have permanent recovery one day at a time. And the word frantically also stood out to me in this paragraph because they knew, Bill and Bob knew the importance and the urgency of helping another alcoholic. My disease is one of isolation and loneliness. And I don't know about yours, but I never practiced my disease amongst groups of people. You know, I never binged on exercise with friends. I never binged on my alcoholic anorexic food in front of other people. So it's a disease of loneliness, and it's a disease of real and utter despair and pain. So they knew the urgency and the importance of helping another alcoholic and being among others. And that's one of the main reasons why this works for me, because I'm not sitting in the darkness any longer. You know, I'm reaching out to my sponsor every day. I'm talking to sponsees every day. I'm on this meeting every day. There's things that I do every day that enhance my recovery. I pray to my higher power every day. These are things that are required for me in order to not go back to the hell of my eating disorder. And, you know, yes, there were many failures, but you know what? Bill and Bob stayed sober. They were doing something right, and I think that they were reaching out to others, and that's why they were staying sober. You know, they knew that that this is what was required, and that, you know, I'd be afraid not to do what I'm doing on a daily basis, you know. And there's days where I might not do something, and I'm like, oh, I didn't do this, or I didn't text my sponsor, or I didn't do this, you know, and it scares me if I don't do that. So I'm grateful that we are all here together trudging this road of happy destiny. Not trudging the road to happy destiny, because there is no final outcome in this for me. This is the road of happy destiny. We are on it right now, here one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. And before I take Maria P., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XVII, first paragraph, hence the two men set to work. And it ends with, though no one realized it at the time. After Maria, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Mo. And it is actually Maria C. as in Charlie in California.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. Maria C., compulsive, recovered compulsive overeater, sugar addict, 100-pounder. What I find myself reflecting on during this meeting is that attitude that our leader shared, that bill number two or AA number three had, that attitude of like, well, I can help them by listening to them share about this, even if I don't know if it's for me, because I think I found that attitude of his very comforting a few months ago when I recovered, got entirely abstinent, recovered, and then started looking for my own sponsee, because I did speak to a lot of people, but let them know it wasn't just me talking to them, it was them interviewing me. But as I spoke again and again with people, you know, I felt self-conscious. I was new to sponsoring. I knew I needed to do it desperately, but was, you know, I had never ridden this bicycle before. And having that attitude that, like, letting the people I was speaking with, I mean, know that, like, just by listening to me, you are helping me. You can choose someone else to be your sponsor. That's okay if you don't want to do the program exactly how I do it, but this is how I do it. I'd love to share it with you. And just the fact that I'm talking to you right now is helping me so much. And I feel like having that attitude where I could be like, so thanks for listening, really helped me not get too scared of doing something new, because again, we need to sponsor to keep what we have. So I think that's it. Thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you very much, Maria C. from California. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we have time for three or four more shares. Who would like to share on this paragraph? Top of page XVII, first paragraph. Hence, the two men set
Don
out to work.
M in Canada.
Who was that?
Jerry K.
Don M. Jerry K. Don M. K. And take a couple more. Now's your time.
Jerry H. M.
Jerry H. M.
Ruvane H. Ruvane H.
Hillary B.
Ruben? Ruben? I think that
yes.
Will be all.
Yes.
R E. Ruben H. I'll take you, Valerie. Was it Valerie?
Yes.
Yeah,
Hillary.
Hillary.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll stop there. Thank you very much, Hillary B. Okay. So we've got Dawn M., Jerry K., Jerry H. M., Reuven H. and Hillary B. I don't know if we'll get to all of you, but we'll see. All right, go ahead, Dawn M. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Dawn M. I'm a recovered real compulsive overeater in Canada. And this meeting's very interesting, especially this paragraph. So I had an interesting experience last night. I joined a hybrid meeting that I normally go to, and there were tons of people that joined remotely. And interestingly enough, there were two young people, I think, who probably joined from a treatment center. And, in the course of the meeting, they ask for sponsors to put up their hands. And I put up my hand and I said, I am a sponsor, but I'm not currently available. So this paragraph reminds me that I need to always be currently available. It's just totally changed my mind. And that's what this program and these steps do for me. It takes me out of my mind and out of my selfishness and self-centeredness. And it's inspired me to say, hey, you know, maybe we can be of service. How can I be of service to this treatment center and these young suffering compulsive overeaters? Because that's what I'm here for, is to serve. And I need to be ready and willing to do that whenever the call comes to me. And this is this paragraph is my call to action, because, you know, we have no idea where that's going to lead, except to more miracles and more history. And, you know, I just really need to be open to being part of that today, to being part of the solution, however that may turn out, because that's in God's hands. And it reminds me of a quote from some other AA literature, as Bill sees it. It talks about transmuting, you know, and in the dictionary, it talks about alchemy, you know, this magical process of turning base metal into gold. And it's part of the miracle that this part of this program. So, you know, it's my call to action. I'll get off this call and I'll get onto a call with somebody else in program and saying, you know, how can we be of service to this treatment center? So thank you very, very much from the bottom of my heart for this service, for this call, for this topic, for the big book, the reading in this particular paragraph. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dawn M. Up is Jerry K., followed by Sherry H. M. Good morning, Jerry. Press star one, Jerry, I can't hear you.
Good morning, sorry about that. This is Jerry Kay in Central Pennsylvania, a gratefully recovered just for today, compulsive overeater and exercise bulimic. And I've been recovered from my compulsive overeating and exercise bulimia since March 15th, 2020. Which coincides with our pandemic shutdown, and vision was such a crucial part of me getting and staying abstinent. I'm so grateful. And vision, of course, going through the big book, taught me that my whole purpose in getting abstinent, higher power's reason for that, has nothing to do with me, and yet everything to do with my willingness. And it's about serving and doing service to others. And when I first started on this journey, I've been in another 12-step program for a long, long time, having grown up in an alcoholic family. I thought I was going to cure everybody I sponsored. I was playing higher power. I was so disappointed when people didn't want to do what I thought they needed to be doing. And what I learned, I talked to a friend who has long-term sobriety in AA, and she said, Jerry, the miracle isn't whether people you sponsor can stay sober or food sober or abstinent. It's the fact that you stayed abstinent through it. And recently, I thought I needed to be kinder and gentler in my approach. Maybe it was my personality. And yet I know that because I work the steps, I turn it over every morning and I ask higher power to guide what I'm doing. So I'm pretty sure my personality is not coming through 100% at least when I sponsor and in my relationships. And I realized that the kind and gentle, loving way, that wouldn't have worked for me. And it wasn't working for this person I sponsored. And I hung on to them for too long because I did what was previously mentioned. I thought, well, you know, they're getting better. It's close enough. No, it wasn't. They weren't abstinent, and it was impinging upon my abstinence. Because I have to work with people who are willing to work the program to the length I am. And if they're not, that's okay. And I've had sponsees leave that, you know, or I had to leave sponsoring them, and they are abstinent. They're, you know, their abstinence is working for them today, and they've come back and thanked me. So I've also come to see some of us just have talents where maybe we're better at sponsoring in the beginning part of somebody's abstinence or later on. It's okay, but service, service, service. There's so many areas to give service, and sponsoring isn't just with that one-on-one newcomer, which is vital and the most important work we do, I feel. But it's also sponsoring at a group level, at intergroup levels. It's showing up. It's sharing in meetings. So I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for Vision. Thank you all for your service.
Thank you very much, Jerry K. Up next is Sherry H. M., followed by Reuben H. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. This is Sherry H. M. from Washington State. It's Sherry with a C. This was just really pivotal because yesterday we were talking about strenuous work. It has to be strenuous work. And then today we had to set to work almost frantically. And that is really shows me that, wow, that is, you know, I can't just sit around and rest on my laurels. I did that, I think, in the beginning, and my sponsor fired me years and years ago. It's about 9 years ago now. And, you know, that was such a gift because then I was really ready and just didn't, you know, I just was going to do it with my all. So it's such a truth to me that it's better to give than receive, because this irony is that it keeps us out of the food. It keeps us really doing the steps. You know, and higher power, who I call God, is just such a marvelous gift. And I'm so very grateful. And I listened to one of our fellows has kept off 500 pounds for like 20 something years. And he was saying the other day on the Zoom big book meeting, he said something like, if he had a penny for every person he sponsored who, you know, quit, he'd be a rich man. So, you know, I've heard that, you know, someone could get sponsored by a monkey. And if they really had the gift of desperation, they would get recovered, or someone could be sponsored by somebody like this man. And, you know, if they don't want to do it or something, that they won't be recovered. But I'm so grateful that this is getting, you know, just really sewn into my soul, because that's what it's about. And it's all about service and working the steps and leaning on God. So thank you so much, and everybody have a blessed, wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Sherry H.M. Up next is Reuben H., and I don't think we'll have time for you, Hillary. Go ahead, Reuben.
Okay, maybe mine will be short. We can do two.
Okay,
my name is
great.
Reuben H., I'm living in Israel, and abstinent today, and what this paragraph means to me is that when it says that the two men set out frantically upon alcoholics arriving, I wasn't on the ward, although I am, what I'm learning is to from this big book is that I'm a very, very sick individual, and I needed to get the message that was I willing to admit that I have to shatter the idea that I could do what other people do, and I am that ill. And that's what I'm appreciative and grateful for right now, for God being able to set up for me a program where a sponsor like the one that I have was willing to follow this guide and make sure that this person had someone to that was willing to learn what we needed to do to be take care of the blocks that are blocking us or blocking me from God, to take care of the condition that I have. And as I continue to work these steps, I'm going through these steps. I'm not new to recovery, been in recovery since 1988 in several programs. However, right now this is striking something in me that's been very powerful. And God willing, in time, when it's my time, I will give service in the way of sponsoring someone as well. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Reuben H. And Hillary, we need to stop now, so maybe come back tomorrow. Please come back tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, for your shares, and thank you for those who gave service this month on the Tuesday meeting. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Diane B. to read page 164, A Vision for You.
Hi, excuse me. This is Diane B. in New York, gratefully recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.